Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. To recap, Perek Kaftet, Chapter 29. Our last Perek was very short, just 11 verses, Yud Aleph Psukim. It is focused on David in the camp of the Plishtim. And as we said, the images of Shaul and David are in constant comparison. Bnei Yisrael and the Plishtim are camped opposite each other. The Plishtim number in the hundreds and thousands, and David follows with his men in the rear. The Philistine king Achish is in the back to protect himself during battle. Nowadays, the famous phrase is that the Israeli army generals always say, "Acharai, follow me." They lead their men and don't lag behind. The other Philistine generals are very upset that David is with the king and going to war with them against Bnei Israel, the Israelites. They comment that David is the Israelite war hero, that women come out and sing after each defeat of the Plishtim. Hikash Shaul ba'alafav veDavid berivivotav, that Shaul kills thousands of Plishtim, but David slays tens of thousands. Furthermore, isn't he a loyal servant of Shaul? Melech Yisrael, king of Israel? He can't go to war with us. He will be an underminer in our ranks, a traitor. Achish swears to David that in his eyes, David is fine, but his generals do not approve of him going to battle against Israel with them. And Achish tells David to return to his camp in peace. And David answers incredulously, "What have I done that I should not join you to fight against the enemies of my lord, my king, Adoni HaMelech?" He does not say Achish's enemies. Achish says, "You are like an angel to me, but my generals really do not want you to come. Leave early in the morning." And they leave early from the Plishtim campsite in Israeli territory back to their camp, Tziklag, in Plishti territory. This perek, this chapter highlighted how David, even in the most unusual and dangerous circumstances, has Hashem miraculously protecting him, and how David is very convincing and savvy when he needs to be. What happens when David returns to his family campground in Tziklag? Let's find out in our Perek, Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. When David and his men arrive in Tziklag, they see that the Amalekim, the Amalekites, raided the area and attacked Tziklag and burnt it down. The Navi relates that all the women and children were taken captive and not killed. David's two wives who were with him in this camp, Achinoam, a Israelite, and Avigail, were also taken captive. The Perek contrasts Shaul and David. When Shaul is under pressure, he breaks, he makes wrong decisions, he listens to bad advice from the nation. He doesn't follow Hashem's command, he panics. Now, as we said, we're constantly comparing them. David is under immense pressure. How will he react to everything that happened to him right now? He comes back and his camp is burnt down and everybody is gone. Vayisa David v'ha'am ito et kolam vayivku ad asher ein bahem koach livkot. David and the troops with him break down into tears until they have no more strength left for crying. Vateitzer le David ma'od ki amru ha'am lesaklo. Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am, ish al banav ve'al benotav, vayitchazek David b'Hashem Elokav. David was in great danger and pressure, and all his troops and his men threatened to stone him, because everyone was so embittered, because their sons and daughters were taken captive. But David sought strength in Hashem. In Hashem is God. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer David el Aviatar HaKohen ben Achimelech, הגישה נא לי האפוד. ויגש אביתר את האפוד אל דוד. דוד said to Eviatar, the Kohen, the son of Avimelech, right? The original family from Nov. Bring the ephod up to me. And Eviatar brings the ephod to David, the Urim the Tumim. And David inquires, Vaish'al David b'Hashem le'mor, Erdof acharei agdud hazeh, ha'asigenu? Vayomer lo, redof, ki haseg tasig v'hatzel tatzil. David inquires of Hashem, and he's asking, should I pursue the raiders who raided my camp? Will I overtake them? And he is answered, yes, pursue, because you shall overtake and you shall rescue. Vayelech David hu v'shesh me'ot ish asher ito, v'yavo ad nachal habesor v'anotarim amadu. So David takes 600 men and he sets out. And when they come to the Vadi Besor, they halt. And then some were left behind. Some stayed behind. Vayodof David, hu ve'arba ma'ot ish, vayamdu mataim ish asher pigru me'avor et nachal Besor. So David continues in pursuit with 400 men, leaving 200 at nachal Besor. So let's see what happens here. David and his men cry until they don't have any more strength. And David is under intense pressure and danger. His men want to stone him because they are so bitter about the capture of their sons and daughters. So what is David's reaction? Does he crack? Does he run away? Does he panic? Right? We're comparing in times of stress. What does Shaul do? What does David do? No. The conclusion of the pasuk is very telling. Vayitchazek David b'Hashem. David finds strength in Hashem. He thinks quickly and rationally and asks Eviatar to bring the ephod, the breastplate. And David asks, should I pursue the attackers? Will I overtake them? And he is answered, yes, pursue them because you will overtake them and overcome them. Compared to Shaul 2 chapters ago in chapter 28 in Perek Kafchet, when Shaul is under pressure, what happens there? He is not answered. He asks, but he is alone. He's not answered, not by the Urim v'Tumim, not by dreams, not by prophets, right? V'lo anahu Hashem. Here, Hashem answers David and gives him very specific answers that he will succeed. Shaul, finally, when he raises Shmuel from the dead, is informed that he and his sons will die in battle. And yet David's answer is that he will defeat his enemy. So David takes his 600 men, 200 wait by the stream and 400 pursue the enemy with David. On their way, they find a famished Egyptian who was a slave to an Amalekite. After they give him to eat and drink, he recounts that he was part of an assault against Yehuda and that they torched the city of Tziklag, which is David's city. So David asks him to bring him to the Amalekite camp. And when they come to the Amalekite camp, they are partying and celebrating with all the spoils that they appropriated from the Plishtim and from Yehuda, and of course, from the city of Tziklag. David and his men attack, and only 400 Amalekite young men escape on camels. And David recovers all that Amalek stole, and his two wives as well. Nothing was missing. All the children, young and old, and all the possessions were returned. And when he was marching back with the spoils, everyone said, Ze shlal David. These are the spoils of David. In the battle with Amalek, several chapters ago, Shaul was not allowed to take from the spoils. But here, these were the children, wives, and possessions of David's camp that he is rightfully returning to their proper owners. There, Shaul was supposed to fight Amalek and destroy them completely. Obviously, here we see that he was not successful since bands of them remained. When they return to the stream, David greets the 200 men that are camped there who did not fight with the rest of the men. But the mean-spirited men who fought with David suggest that because they did not fight, they don't deserve the spoils. They only deserve their wives and children. How will David respond? Is he going to cave in to the men? Oh, the men are suggesting, and we can understand, maybe it makes sense. But look at David's response. Vayavod David al matayim anashim asher pigru milechet acharei David, vayishivum benachal hapsor, vayitzu likrat David velikrat ha'am asher ito, vayigash David el ha'am vayishal lahem l'shalom. David greets them and wants to know how they're doing. But vayan kol ishrau blial ma'anashim asher alchuim David. Right? All the men who are churlish say, yan asher lo halchuimi, lo niten lahem ha'ashalal. We're not going to give them from the spoils because they did not come with us. Because we saved the spoils. We saved the people. Asher hitzilanu. We are the ones who did all the work. We seized it. We'll only give them ishat ishto ve'et banav. We'll only give them their wives and their children. Vayomar David. And David answers, lo ta'asu ken achai. Don't do this, my brothers. Et asher natan Hashem lanu. Really? All these spoils is what Hashem gave to us. You did not seize this, right? Hashem gave it to us. Vayishmor otanu. And Hashem watched us during this battle. Vayiten et hagdud haba aleinu biadenu. And Hashem delivered this troop that came and seized and destroyed our town, and we went back and attacked them. It's Hashem who gave them in our hands. Umi yishma lachem ladavar hazeh. And who's going to listen to you to this kind of attitude? Ki kechelek hayored b'milchama, ukechelek hayoshev al hakelim yachdav yachloku. How could anyone agree with you in this manner? The share of those who remain with the baggage shall be the same as those who go down to battle. Everyone has to share alike. Vayhi mayom ahu v'mala, vayisimea lechok ulimishpat liyisrael ad hayom hazeh. And from that day forward, it was made a fixed rule for Israel, continuing to this present day. And when David comes to a city of Tziklag, Vayishlach ma'ashalal lezikne Yehuda lere'ehu lemor. And when David comes to Tziklag, he sends from the shalal to the elders of the of Yehuda, all those who were his friends, saying, Bracha mishlal oyvei Hashem. These are presents for you, a bracha, a blessing from the spoils from the enemies of Hashem. And he sends them to many cities, to Beit El, to Ramat HaNegev, to Beitar, to Aroer, to Sfamot, to Eshtamoa, to Brechal, to Arei HaYechrachmeili, to Arei HaKeni, and those in Chorma, in Borashan, and even Hebron, and every single place that David went. David does not get bullied by his men, as we see by the Psukim. Just the opposite. He sets a very civil, inclusive tone. He calls them my brothers. And he speaks very convincingly. He credits Hashem with protecting them during this battle and helping them win. David says, and whoever heard of such nonsense that you won't share the spoils? The troops that fight and the troops that defend the rear should share equally in the spoils. David sets a legal precedent from that day forward, and that was the practice. When David returns to the city of Tziklag, he apportions the spoils to all the elders of Yehuda who were supportive of him, and as Rashi adds, hid him and supported him when he ran away from Shaul, when his life was in danger. David labels and designates these spoils as a bracha, a blessing, a present from the defeat of the enemies of Hashem. He keeps on crediting HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem for everything that happens. And he sends it to the major cities and towns in Yehuda. It shows that he is generous. And also, you paid back the people that you stayed. And this also reminds us of Avraham. Avraham went back to all the cities and he pays back all the places that he traveled after he comes back from Mitzrayim with bounty. Here it is a more defensive war, and David saves all the people that were captured. And the focus is on the spoils that David returns to their original owners and then shares with others. Ralbach explains that splitting the spoils between the active warriors and those that stayed behind is a way to emphasize God's hand in battle, Yad Hashem. He wants to emphasize it's not exclusively the warriors fighting that bring salvation. It was Hashem who orchestrated the salvation, the Yeshua. And humans are just junior partners with Hashem. That's a very important message that David gives over and over throughout all his battles. Sharing the bounty equitably publicizes the great miracle that Hashem wrought for Bnei Israel. And Rashi adds also an interesting ha'ara, that the pasuk, the verse that describes David's new rules, phrase it mehayom hahuva mala, not mehayom hahuva hala. The verse implies that David HaMelech, is continuing a tradition and not instituting, as we would assume from the simple explanation of the text. So who else shared his bounty after a battle in this way? Rashi quotes a famous Breshit Rabbah, an early Midrash, that Avraham, our forefather, instituted this when he was fighting the four kings in Canaan. The king of Sodom tells Avraham that he should take the spoils, and Avraham refuses and says, I don't want it said that you made me wealthy. However, the young men and the men that went with me, they should have their portion. What the Midrash and Rashi are doing by quoting this are comparing the actions of Avraham and David and aligning them. David is continuing in the tradition of Avraham. And I mentioned that other connection as well. This is our last perek in Shmuel Aleph about David. So a final assessment of David is warranted. Our thesis throughout the chapters on David is that he has the lineage, he's from the house of Yehuda, and the natural rough talent to be the next king. He is introduced to us in chapter 16, Perek Tet Zayin, in several ways. When Shmuel thinks that all the brothers should be king, the tall ones or the others, and Hashem advises him that all the brothers he has seen are not worthy, then finally when Shmuel asks, are there any others? Yishai, the father, responds, Ot sha'ar hakaton vihine ro'e batzon. There is still the youngest, and he is tending the flock. He's tending the sheep. Vayishlach vayivieu, v'hu admoni im yefe einayim v'tov ro'i. Vayomar Hashem kum mishacheu ki zehu. So, they send for the youngest, and they bring him in. And he is ruddy, red, admoni, bright-eyed, handsome. And Hashem says, rise and anoint him, because this is the one. Vaykach Shmuel et keren Hashemen, vayimshach oto bekerev echav, vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David mehayom ahuva mala. Vayakam Shmuel vayelech haramata. And Shmuel takes the horn of oil, he anoints David in the presence of his brothers, and the spirit of Hashem grips David from that moment on, from that day on. And Shmuel goes back to the Ramah, to his home. At that same moment, V'ruach Hashem sara me'im Sha'ul, u'biyatatu ruach ra'ah me'et Hashem. And the spirit of Hashem departed from Sha'ul, and he had a ruach ra'ah, an evil spirit, began to terrify him. And Sha'ul's courtiers say, let's find someone who can play the kinnor. Yivakshu ish yodea menagen bekinnor. Let's find someone who knows how to play the lyre, the harp. V'haya biyot alecha ruach elokim ra'ah. V'nigen biyado v'tov lach. And whenever this evil spirit or this bad spirit of Hashem comes on you, you'll feel better after hearing the music. Shaul agrees. Vayan echad manarim. So one of the attendants speaks up and says, Hine ra'iti ben li Yishai beit halachmi. Yodea nagen. Gibor chayil. Ish milchama. Nevon davar, ve'ish toar, ve'hashem imo. Look at the compliments that David has, is being described with. He's skilled in music. Music is number one. It's about his voice. It's about his playing the music, right? He's the one who writes and plays the Mizmorei Tehillim, many of them. He is a stalwart fellow, a hero, a warrior. He is wise. He's handsome, and Hashem is with him. And everyone who encounters David, we see in that perek, initially loves him, and further on. David is described in the Yaakov fashion. He is the katon, the small, the young one, and he's also a shepherd, the classic leader of Am Yisrael. When Shmuel sees him, he notices his admoni, his red, ruddy appearance, like Esav. But David also has yefei einayim v'tov ro'i, bright-eyed and handsome. He's a mix of Yaakov and Esav. He has great leadership qualities. He's going to be a military hero. When the servants describe him, he has everything. He has the perfect resume. So we see that David has raw talent. David has the special mix of all these different qualities. We follow David in his development as a leader, how he learned to use his voice, Hakol Kol Yaakov, to fight Hashem's battles. He is masterful in fighting Goliath, with mostly God's words on his lips and a slingshot in his hand. He is victorious against the Plishtim. He is best friends with Shaul's son, Yonatan, and he marries Shaul's daughter, Michal. So David slowly but surely develops himself as a leader. But as David succeeds, Shaul resents him, and David has to flee the palace after several attempts of Shaul to kill David. And as David escapes, we see that he descends to dangerous moral territory, and we see reverses in his behavior. He's not always choosing the high road. He goes to Nov to get the sword of Goliath. He lies to the Kohen Gadol Achimelech, endangering the priestly city of Nov. He goes to Moab. The country is ancestress Ruth, right? Rut abandons. And according to Rashi, was the main reason his family was murdered in Moab by the king of Moab. David almost kills or at least disrespects Shaul by cutting the edge of his cloak when he is in the cave with him. So is David being influenced by the 400 men on the fringe of society that join him when he is running away? In chapter 25 in Perek Kaf Hei, he watches the flocks of Naval and expects payments. When he does not receive it, he swears that he will kill Naval and all the males of his household by sunrise. Now David is giving the orders to kill and take up the sword in a personal vendetta and not for national security reasons. David is at a very fateful crossroad in his career. Will he succumb to the stress and lose his future? Like Yehuda with Tamar and Boaz with Ruth before her, Abigail comes to the rescue to remind David what his core values are and what his future should be. David internalizes this message, and in the next encounter with Shaul, David seamlessly takes the high road and directs his men. Even in Plishtim, David will have to figure out his path. But in the end, we see even under extreme duress, when a city is torched and everyone is taken captive, David keeps a level head and he leads his men in battle, secures the humans and possessions, and institutes a splitting of the war bounty while invoking Hashem and paying back the people who helped him. These are the qualities of a great leader. David's role is to be a military hero, a king, conquer Israel completely, and bring justice to Bnei Israel, and most importantly, to focus their views on Hashem, on God. A leader, even a great leader, makes mistakes and falters. We do not expect them to be perfect. We expect them to be resilient, to correct their actions, to learn from their mistakes, and move on and bring the nation along with them. That is what these chapters about David show. Why he deserves to be anointed, and to be the anointed one and the next king of Israel, not because he is perfect, but because he has great and unique qualities, and he has different aspects that kind of fight with each other, but he harnesses his good qualities and the other aspects that he has to do the right thing. He has a military Esav, but he has the capacity to use it in the God-centered way of Yaakov and Avraham, integrating the material and the spiritual. We hear his voice in Tehillim, his voice and actions in Sefer Shmuel and Divrei HaYamim, and appreciate the totality that is David. And that's why we say about David, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. We have one more chapter, chapter 31, Perek Lamed Aleph, which is our last chapter together. And we will analyze the kingship of Shaul and evaluate his contribution to Am Yisrael. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Frida, but Moshe Eliyahu.